Greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a great joy for us, my family and I, to be among you, to join you in your worship. And I count it a privilege to have this opportunity to bring you the Word of God this morning. If you'll keep your Bibles opened to Proverbs chapter 4, our text as we read just now is from verse 23, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. And the topic is keeping our hearts. And this is an issue which is very important to the Christian life, at the same time also tends to be quite neglected. There's a great deal of focus in the world, especially nowadays, on our physical health, on keeping our bodies healthy and strong. A lot of people are very concerned about health, especially after what has been happening over the past couple of years. And so we take great pains to look after our health physically. We look after our bodies. We make sure we eat the right foods. We make sure we exercise. We make sure we wash our hands. We have this responsibility. And of course, it's good that we do these things. But as much as even the world emphasizes the care of the body, the world neglects the care of the soul. And it's sadly common even for us to neglect our souls. We don't keep our hearts, our souls, as much as we keep our bodies. Now, as Christians, we ought to recognize the importance of the inner man, the inner life, the heart, the mind, the thoughts, the intents, the motives. And I think that is what this proverb is turning our hearts to. This is what this proverb is reminding us, the importance of keeping the heart. Just as we want to keep our bodies from what is bad or unhealthy, so also we ought to keep our hearts from what is evil, what is damaging to our souls. There are three things that we want to focus on this morning as we meditate on this verse. First of all, we want to consider what exactly we are to keep. What does heart here in this verse signify? Secondly, we want to consider why we ought to keep our hearts and why we ought to keep with such diligence as we are commanded here in Proverbs chapter 4. And finally, we want to consider some biblical approaches for how to keep our hearts. So three things to consider: what to keep, why to keep, and how to keep. First of all, what to keep. Now again, it's important for us to understand this rightly, because when we use the word heart nowadays, we often speak of it in terms of emotions or feelings. We hear people tell us, follow your heart, and they mean go with what you feel. But the word heart in Scripture does not so much refer to emotions or feelings as to the whole of the inner life. The word heart in Scripture includes also the thoughts. It includes also the intentions. It includes the desires, the ambitions, the motives, the whole of the inner man, including the will as well as the affections. And this is what we are to keep. We are to keep our hearts. We are to keep that inner life. The word keep has the idea of guarding something. It implies that this is something precious. This is something valuable. This is something that we ought to protect. And notice here, we are told, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart, singular. This is speaking of an individual responsibility. You and I individually are responsible to keep our own hearts, and we are accountable to God for the state and the condition of our own hearts. This, I think, already is something significant for us to notice, because I think it's common for us to see our own hearts, our own minds, as a kind of private domain. What I think is nobody else's business. No one has the right to tell me what to think or what not to think. No one has the right to tell me what to feel or what not to feel. What goes on in here is for me to decide. What goes on in here is my own private domain. I'm king of my own heart. And of course, in human terms, I cannot see what is in your heart. You cannot see what is in my heart. In human terms, there is no man who can police our hearts, but we are speaking about God. I cannot see your heart. You cannot see my heart. But God sees our hearts. Remember what the Lord reminded the prophet Samuel. The Lord looketh not as man looketh or man seeth. Man looketh on the outward appearance. The Lord looketh on the heart. Remember how the Lord spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, reminding us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins so as to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God sees our hearts. God knows our hearts. And God cares about the state and the condition of our heart. He doesn't leave it up to us. God does not tell us, as long as you do what I tell you to do, as long as you say what I tell you to say, I don't care about the rest. It's not what God says to us. God doesn't tell us you just have to go through the motions, perform these rituals, and what goes on in your hearts, I don't mind. You can think what you like, you can feel what you like, as long as externally you do what I tell you to do, then that's fine. That's not what God says. God cares about our hearts. God cares about what we think. God cares about what we desire. God cares about our motives and not just our external actions. And we can see this even in the moral law of God. God, as our creator, has the sovereign and absolute right to tell us what to do. He made our hands. And he tells us and commands us, thou shalt not steal. But the same God who made our hands and commands us not to steal also made our hearts and commands us, thou shalt not covet. God cares what goes on in here. God cares what goes on in the inner life. The 10th commandment reminds us that our hearts, our minds, our thoughts, our intentions, our motives, our affections, these are not our own private domain. God must rule even in our hearts. And God commands us how to order that inner life. God commands us what we are to think and what we are not to think, what we are to desire and what we are not to desire. We are to keep our hearts because God cares about the state and the condition of our hearts. The Christian life is not just outward conformity covering up an inner rebellion or an inner apathy. The Christian life involves the feelings and the desires and the thoughts and the ambitions as well. God cares, and God has an interest in what goes on. And God is a good God. The rules that he has given, the instructions, the commandments he gives us in his word to order our inner lives, these are not arbitrary. These are not cruel and harsh. As a good God, he gives us these good commandments for our good. When we order our lives rightly, externally and internally, according to God's commandment, then we see the blessing of a life that is lived in conformity to the will of God. It's our privilege, as well as our duty, to keep our hearts according to God's pattern. And that's why the proverb reminds us here how important this is. Keep thy heart with all diligence, with all diligence. There's a very strong emphasis here on the idea of guarding and protecting. Keep your heart with all diligence. It is something like guard your heart with all guarding. There's a very strong emphasis here. We are to protect the inner life. Here, the guarding is not so much to keep things in. It's not like a prison. In a prison, you're very concerned to keep those people who are there in. You don't want people to break out. But here, it is different. It is not so much keeping things in as keeping things out. We don't want things that are ungodly. We don't want things that are evil or wicked or carnal to get into the heart and begin to influence the way that we think, the way that we feel. We are surrounded by things, after all, that are not godly. Apostle John reminds us, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. These are the things that surround us. These are the things that can so easily enter the heart. And our great enemy, the devil, the god of this world, is very concerned to get these things into our hearts. He wants to influence the way that we think. He wants to influence our motives. He wants to plant his corruptions in our hearts. And the world around us is full of this intent, full of this malicious intent to influence the inner life. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't allow these things to get in and begin to influence you in an ungodly way. Remember how James also reminds us, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. It is so important for us to keep our hearts with all diligence, with great focus, with great commitment. We all understand, don't we, what it means to guard something. Again, we guard our health. We keep the bad things out. And we teach our children this, don't we? Don't pick up food from the floor. Why? Because it's dirty. It can be contaminated. You don't want to put that in you. My daughter has allergies. I remember the first time she had an allergic reaction, we were very scared. We didn't know what to do. Slowly we began to realize she's allergic to certain kinds of nuts, to prawns and so on. And as soon as we discovered this, we became very careful what she eats. We check the food. We make sure there's nothing there that can cause such a reaction. We want to guard and protect her. Of course we do as parents. We care for her health. We don't want to expose her to things that will hurt or damage her. We know how to do this for our children. We know how to do this for our bodies. We know how to do this for our valuables. If you have jewelry or valuable possessions, you don't just leave them lying about. You guard them, you keep them somewhere safe. We know how to do this, even in cyberspace. We have passwords, don't we, for our email, for all these things, all these sensitive things, sensitive information, private information. We guard it, we keep it carefully. We know how to choose good passwords. We're taught this, aren't we? You can't just put your birthday. You can't just put something obvious. You've got to have this character, that character. Sometimes when we're creating a password, it's a big hassle, isn't it? Because you can't just put down something simple. It has to be strong. It has to be secure. We know how to guard things. But what about our hearts? God tells us here, keep thy heart with all diligence. How important this is. Whatever else you guard, whatever else you count valuable and precious, whatever else you take pains to protect, God says, protect this. Guard your hearts. Don't neglect this. This is something most precious and most valuable. Keep thy heart with all diligence. That's what we are to keep. But why? Why is it so important? The proverb tells us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of the heart, are the issues of life. That's why so much emphasis is placed on guarding the heart, because out of the heart are the issues of life. Now, again, we must understand this rightly, because sometimes we use the word issue, especially nowadays, to refer just to a topic or a subject or a matter or a problem. If I say, I have an issue with this, I mean, I have a problem with this. We have an issue to resolve. We have a problem to fix, in other words. But that's not what the word issue means here. It's not talking about the topics of life or the problems of life. The word issue here has the idea of something, literally, that is issuing forth, something that is flowing out. This is a discharge. You remember in the Gospels, it was the woman with the issue of blood, right? It's not a problem of blood, or not just a problem of blood. It's literally blood flowing out. It is a discharge. That's the idea here. The issues of life are the things that flow out, the life that flows out from the heart. It is life as something downstream, flowing out, the external things of life, as an outflow of the internal condition of the heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, because your whole life flows out from that. The way your heart is will affect everything else. Everything else is downstream. This is the source. If the heart is not right, if the heart is corrupt, if the heart is defiled, then the whole life will be affected. Out of it are the issues of life. This is what the Lord Jesus also emphasizes. We read from Matthew 15 just now. If you turn to Mark chapter 7, this is a parallel passage. There's a little bit more detail here. Mark chapter 7. If you look at verse 21, you'll see what we read also in Matthew 15. This is what the Lord taught his disciples. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, or envy, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Out of the heart are the issues of life. If the heart is not right, this is what will come out: evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, and so on. The context here has to do with the question of purity, right? The Pharisees and scribes criticized Jesus and his disciples. Mark chapter 7, verse 1. The Pharisees, certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem, and when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashed hands, they found fault. Why? Because the Pharisees and all the Jews placed great emphasis on the external things, external cleanliness. Except they wash their hands oft, they eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. They're very concerned with these external things. The scribes and the Pharisees emphasize the external. As long as you keep all these rituals, you're right with God. But Jesus said, there's something far more important. That is the condition of your heart. It's not enough for you just to keep up appearances. You must keep your hearts. For out of the heart proceed all these evil things. You're focusing on the wrong thing. You're focusing on the externals when you should be focusing on the internals. It's like a stream. If you think of a stream and someone discovers that there are dangerous chemicals that have been put into the stream, it's no point just taking out the chemicals where you find them in the stream. You have to go to the source, right? You have to go to the place where these chemicals are being pumped in and get rid of it there. Stop that. You have to go to the source. That's what the Lord is saying. Go to the source. Go to the heart. Fix your heart. Make sure your hearts are right. And all these things will fall into place. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Again, we can think of it, I think, like a cup of water. If you're carrying a cup of water, sometimes my children do this. Whenever they pick up a cup of water, I get scared. Why? Because I know it's going to spill. And they don't know how to walk carefully. They think they're holding a cup of water and they can run around the way they normally are. The water goes everywhere. Now, if that cup is full of clean and pure water, when they are running around, if they trip or they fall or they hit something or there's a jolt or a disturbance, they can only spill clean and pure water because that's all that's in the cup, right? But if the cup is full of filthy, dirty water, that is what will spill out. Our hearts are like that. If our hearts are full of good things, pure things, lovely things, then when there is a disturbance, when there is a shock, where something happens, that is what will come out because that is what the heart is full of. When there's a provocation, what will come out are kind words, gentle, compassionate words, forgiveness, because the heart is full of those things. But if our hearts, if we don't keep our hearts, if we allow our hearts to be full of corruption, full of angry thoughts, full of bitterness, full of malice, and when there's a disturbance, that is what will come out. When we are provoked, how will we respond? All the evil things will come out, because that's what the heart is full of. That's the idea here. Out of the heart are the issues of life, the way you respond to things in life, the way you make decisions, the way you talk to one another. It comes from the heart. If the heart is full of evil, that will show itself as you go through life. But if the heart is full of what is good and pure and godly, then that is what will show itself. Whatever life throws your way, you will respond according to the condition of your heart. Everything is downstream of the heart. So if we want to fix our lives, if we want our lives to be ordered rightly, we have to pay attention to the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So that's what to keep and why to keep. But how? How are we to keep our hearts? If we recognize how important it is, how can we do it? How can we guard and protect our hearts? What practical guidance can we find from Scripture? I think one way to approach this is to look at the Psalms. The Psalms have been called the heart of Scripture. In the Psalms, we find God's people pouring out their hearts to God. And I think in the Psalms, we can see how the people of God have been keeping their hearts, and we can learn from that. You turn with me, first of all, to Psalm 1. And look here at what is described of the blessed man. How does the blessed man keep his heart? Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's how he keeps his heart, by meditating in the law of the Lord. To read and study the word of God, and to think and pray and apply it. That's what it means to meditate on the law of the Lord. If you turn also to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. What emphasis the psalmist places on the word of God. If we want to guard and keep our hearts, it is the word of God that is really that fence. God is the one who defines what is good and what is bad. God is the one who tells us what should be kept out and what should be allowed in. It is with the word of God that we guard and keep our hearts. Otherwise, how will we know what to keep out? How will we know what to let in? We need God's word to teach us. The things that are contrary to Scripture, contrary to the law of God, should not be allowed into our hearts. That means we must be in the habit of examining our hearts in light of Scripture. It's part of our meditation on the Word of God. It's good that we read. It's good that we study. It's good that we memorize. We must be examining our hearts in light of what we read and study and memorize. Does my heart conform to the law of God? Is there something in my heart that is displeasing to God? Is there something in my heart that is contrary to his word? Are my desires according to the word of God? Am I wanting what he wants me to want? Are my ambitions and my motives according to the word of God? Is there something inside that is not right? God's word will show it. God's word will tell us. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of bone and marrow. It's a discerner, God says, of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God shows us what we are like. It shows us where we need to change. It shows us what needs to be corrected. Our problem often is that we are not used to being in the word of God like this. We are not accustomed to meditating in the law of the Lord day and night. How much time do we spend on the word of God versus the things of the world, even the things that are not wrong in themselves? But if they take up so much of our time and so much of our attention and so much of our affection, we don't have the space, we don't have the room, we don't have the time for the word of God to really have its effect in our lives. And how can we guard our hearts? We are found in the Lord's house on the Lord's day, and that's good and wonderful. But what about the rest of the week? Are we meditating and studying and applying the word of God? Imagine if you walk down the street and you walk past a house with a high wall, a thick wall, and on the top, all the barbed wire. And at regular intervals along that fence, you see cameras, CCTV. You hear guard dogs barking. And you think, wow, this house is really well guarded and protected. And as you keep walking, you find that the wall doesn't go all the way around the house. The wall only covers one side, and the rest of the house is open. What use will that be? What use is it having a wall that doesn't go all the way around? What use is it if we spend one day in seven with the word of God, and the rest of the time we're in the world? How are we guarding our hearts with so little of the word of God? It's like a fence that doesn't go all the way around. It's no protection at all. We need to be in the word of God constantly, daily, meditating in the law of the Lord. Then we can be guarded. And then we can keep our hearts. Again, we know how to do this with our bodies. If you're sick and you go to the doctor and he prescribes you a course of antibiotics, you keep that, don't you? You take the medicine exactly when you're supposed to. You don't miss a dose because you care about the state of your body. What about our hearts? God gives us his word. God teaches us and commands us and instructs us to be daily in the word of God. How often we miss a dose and we think nothing of it. And we think no harm will come of it. We don't recognize we are exposing our hearts to all kinds of danger and corruption. And as much as we are not used to spending that time in the word of God, we are also, I think, not used to examining ourselves in light of Scripture. We don't use the word of God as it is intended. We don't check ourselves. I don't ask myself, what is this word teaching me about how I ought to be and how I ought to live? I don't often ask myself, I don't have that habit of asking myself, is my life in conformity with the word of God? It's a good habit for us, a good practice for us at the end of every day and at the beginning of every day to check ourselves against the word of God. Is my heart right? Have I thought what is right? Have I felt? Have I desired? Have I had the right motives today? Again, we spend so much time guarding what goes into our bodies. I know people who have, nowadays you have an app for everything, right? And they have this app that tells them how many calories they've been eating. And they check. This is how many calories I've had. I'm a little bit over. I'm a little bit under. This is my target. Now you have steps, right? You have to reach your target of steps every day. And you check that. And you say, oh, I must walk more. What about the word of God? Do we have a target? Do we check? Do we examine ourselves in light of the word of God? How important it is for us. We live in an ungodly world. We are called to be in the world, but we know that this world is full of things that are not of the Father. How careful we ought to be. We should be like Daniel, shouldn't we? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We need to have that purpose in our hearts. And we need to come to the Word of God with that understanding, with that recognition, how much we need God's Word to guard and to keep our hearts. God promises His Word is sufficient. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. God's word is sufficient. It is profitable. If only we will use it. He has given it to us for that purpose. So we guard our hearts through the word of God. We guard our hearts also through prayer. And I think we see this in the Psalms. We turn to Psalm 5. Psalm 5 and verse 3. Psalm 5 and verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Prayer is another way that we guard our hearts and keep our hearts when we are found often in prayer. Psalm 55 and verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice. The psalmist David, in the midst of a distressing and difficult life, was often in prayer. He prayed and asked God for help. He sought deliverance and guidance from the Lord. It's in prayer that we draw near to God and we ask him to search our hearts. We ask him to help us to guard our hearts. It is in prayer that we draw on God's strength and God's wisdom. It is in prayer that we seek the help of the Holy Spirit to guard and keep our hearts as we go through the day, to help us to respond rightly to the things that will happen that day. We should be often in prayer, evening and morning and at noon, the psalmist says. Would that not be a good habit and practice for us to have these times of prayer and to be diligent in keeping them so that our hearts may be guarded? Prayer is the lifeblood of religion. It's that vital connection to God. How we need to be prayerful. And God himself commands us to pray without ceasing, to be always in the spirit and attitude of prayer. And if we are always in prayer, if we are constantly maintaining that connection with God, don't we see how that will help us to guard our hearts? We are constantly reminded. As the psalmist says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. When we have that constant vital connection with God, we know when something is wrong. We know when he is not hearing us. We know when there's something that needs to be fixed. But if we are not in prayer, we will not even know when something is wrong. We won't have that sensitivity to sin and wickedness and iniquity. And that comes through prayer. When we're in the habit of prayer, then we have that sensitivity to God's desires and God's pleasure, and we know when something is wrong. And I think one more thing to mention that we see in the Psalms, we guard our hearts through the Word of God, we guard our hearts through prayer, but we should not fail to recognize the importance of worship in guarding our hearts. If you turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Let me read from verse 12. Psalm 73 and verse 12. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. The psalmist Asaph here is speaking of his difficulty, his envy, when he looked at the wicked of the world. Verse 2, as for me, he says, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Something was wrong in his heart. Some evil, some corruption had entered his heart so that he was envious at the ungodly. He looked at those who had wandered from God and were living in rebellion against God. And he thought, these people are doing well. They prosper. They are rich. They are famous. They are well-liked. They have all that this world can offer. And look at me. I'm suffering. I'm in distress and affliction. Why should I bother to be holy? Why should I bother being godly? Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain. I should just be like them. And then I can enjoy life in this world. This wicked thought had entered his heart. And Asaph says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. That was the turning point for him. That's what helped him to repent and understand the truth. That is what restored him to his fellowship with God and his desire for God. That is what enabled him to say towards the end of the psalm, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. It was the worship of God that helped him to understand and helped him to guard his heart and correct his wrong thinking. It was when he went into the sanctuary of God, then he understood. And this is important for us. This applies to us. When we are in the worship of God, in his house, in his sanctuary, that helps us to guard our hearts. The true worship of God reminds us who he is. Worship is an affirmation of who God is. And when we worship God, we cannot help but see and be reminded of his holiness and his beauty and his goodness and his worthiness. When we worship God, we are acknowledging and remembering who he is. That helps us to guard our hearts from anything that is contrary to God. When we see and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, doesn't that help us to keep our hearts from all that is unholy? When we see who God is, then we see that nothing the world offers can compare. Then the world, As the hymn goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. What are we doing in worship but turning our eyes on Jesus, turning our eyes on the Lord? The more we behold him, the more we see him, the less appeal, the less attraction the things of the world have for us. But when we are not in worship, when we are not in the Lord's house, it's so easy for the things of the world. It is so easy for idols to take God's place in our hearts because we don't have that constant reminder of who God is. And so I urge and encourage all those who are able to come to the house of God, to come into the sanctuary of God. Don't miss out on this blessing. Don't miss out on what can guard and keep your hearts from all idolatry. If you can possibly be here on the Lord's Day, be here. It is part of God's good provision for us to guard our hearts as we worship him in his house together. So again, if we recognize the importance of guarding our hearts, if we want to obey this command, keep thy heart with all diligence, then let us establish these good practices and habits. A habit and practice of being constantly in the Word of God, meditating on it, applying it, examining ourselves in light of it. A habit and practice of prayer, a habit and practice of worship, regular and diligent. These will be a great spiritual help to us. And this is God's promise. If we will keep and guard our hearts with all diligence, then all the issues of life will begin to fall into place. And we will see how God works to enable us to live rightly. Relationships may be mended, and we ourselves become kinder and gentler and more forgiving because our hearts are right with God. Sin may lose its hold on us more and more. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The issues of life will begin to fall into place because we are fixing the heart. And all the issues of life come from here. If only we will guard and keep our hearts with all diligence. Whatever else we do, let us not neglect this. Everything else, in fact, will be useless if we don't set and commit ourselves to keep our hearts and make sure we are right with God from the inside, and then the outside will fall into place. May the Lord help us in this. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, indeed, how we thank you for your word, how we thank you for the privilege of prayer, and how we thank you for the joy of worship, how we give thanks and praise to you that we may be found in your house, that we may be acceptable in thy sight because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would help us to meditate on your word, and to understand what we are commanded to do, to keep our hearts with all diligence. We seek your blessing, and we cling to your promise that out of the heart are all the issues of life. We desire to live rightly before you. We desire to please you. We pray you will help us as we keep our hearts, that we may see your good hand at work in our lives, that we may see and experience the sanctifying power of your word and your spirit, that we may be conformed more and more to the image of Christ our Savior. We ask this all in his name and for his sake. Amen.